Would you please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31? We are going to look verse by verse at this passage of Scripture, verses 10 through 31. A mother's love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all of our mothers. We thank you especially for mothers among us who are godly, who have raised children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and those who are still doing so. We pray your blessing upon them, and even as this passage of Scripture gives instruction to them, help us all to learn from this lesson today how we ought to live our lives to your glory. We pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. The one key word to describe God's love is the word give. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For us, expressing God's love can take two different forms. On the one hand, it can be giving whatever sacrifice is necessary to help those who cannot help themselves, and with the goal in mind of bringing them to Christ. On the other hand, giving of yourself in whatever way may be needed for people you have chosen to be special in your life, so that their lives can be as good as they can possibly be. And no one is more special in a mother's life than her children. And we're going to look at this particular passage of Scripture to see what a mother can give to her children to make their children's lives as good as they can possibly be. The first point I make in the first couple of verses of this passage of Scripture is one of the best gifts a mother can give to a daughter is to teach her how to love a husband, and to her sons to teach them the kind of woman they will want for a wife. It says in verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 31, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." It is my understanding that the biblical concept of virtue is defined in this way: a commitment to excellence. And thus a virtuous woman is a woman who is committed to excellence in every aspect of her life. And this is what makes her so valuable. A woman who is committed to excellence will have an excellent relationship with her husband, so much so that her husband will have absolute trust in her. Look at verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Now, the concept of spoil generally goes with war, you know, and the victor gets to take all the stuff from the people that lose. Well, that's the way war used to be. I don't know how war is being conducted today, but that's how war used to be. But here, in the application to the marriage relationship, and the idea that the husband trusts his wife so that he has no need of spoil, he doesn't have to go anywhere but home to find whatever it is he needs, because his wife provides whatever he needs. He doesn't have to go anywhere else. She never disappoints him. Whatever he needs is at home. A virtuous woman who is committed to excellence will be making her marriage excellent her entire lifetime. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This virtuous woman who is committed to excellence and in all aspects of her life is committed to excellence in her relationship with her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We're familiar with those terms used in the marriage vows: for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Too many people in their marriage relationship love the circumstances that are better, richer, healthy. And when the worst comes and the poor comes and the sickness comes, somehow that's not good enough. This virtuous woman who is committed to excellence will do him good all her lifetime, regardless of the circumstances that come their way. And be sure her children are watching. Young children often observe what adults do and imitate that. I think I've told you this little thing before, but we have a short little video clip from many years ago when our two oldest children were just like 4 and 3 years old, in which they got a little step stool with a handle out, and Benjamin is the preacher. And he's up on a step stool and he's preaching away. If you believe in Jesus, you will go to heaven. And if you do not believe in Jesus, you will go to hell. And then he says, now Charity Joy Moss will sing a solo. And he gets down off the step stool and Charity gets up on the step stool and she starts singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. Did we tell them to do that? No. Why did they do it? They saw adults doing that in the church service, and they imitated it. That's what children do. They imitate what they see in adults. And a virtuous woman will establish such an excellent relationship with her husband that her daughters will see how to treat a husband, and her sons will see the kind of treatment he wants to get from his future wife. Another wonderful gift a mother can give to her children is an excellent work ethic. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Do you get that? She worketh willingly. Work, of course, is to be occupied in manual labor and the expending of energy. And obviously it's manual labor because she's using her hands. But willingly, she actually wants to do this. Now, if a wife, mother, has employment outside the home, I want to tell you, she has two jobs. Because being a wife, mother, keeper of the house, I say keeper of the house according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, being a wife, mother, and keeper of the house involves work. Took me a long time to figure that out. I'm sorry. It took me so long. You know, I'm out all day in the days I left the house, go to the office, prepare my sermons, visit people, plan programs, do counseling, talk on the phone. I'm busy all day long, and I worked. Now it's time to go home and be waited on by my wife, because after all, she's just been home all day. I want to tell you, men, if you're still thinking like that, I've got news for you. What is the value of an excellent work ethic? Do you remember scripturally 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat? How many people today are being able to eat without working? Our government is fostering a situation where it's more advantageous to sit at home and eat because it's being handed to you than it is to go out and go back to work. That's not biblical. We need to teach our children to have an excellent work ethic. The failure to have an excellent work ethic can lead to an irresponsible lifestyle. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, these people who are not working are described as disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybody, speaking things which they ought not. God says, don't be idle, work. And a godly mother works. A godly mother doesn't even have to leave home to set an example of an excellent work ethic. On the other hand, if she has to do that double duty of being a wife, mother, and keeper of the house and work outside the home at the same time, she has two full-time jobs and she deserves double honor. And maybe a little help from the head of the house who has the ultimate responsibility for the welfare of his family. Man, you know what I'm talking about? Verse 14, she shops wisely. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. Let me ask you, is the closest store always the best place to shop? What if you can get better quality further away? A mother who is committed to excellence will go to great lengths to provide excellent quality for her family. And that's what that verse is talking about. A virtuous woman gives up sleep to provide for her family. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Husbands, have you ever gotten up in the morning and your wife has already done two loads of laundry, weeded the garden, and fixed breakfast? I have. Phew, put you to shame. Wives, mothers, are sort of like doctors. Do you ever wonder when doctors sleep? Do you ever notice that? Doctors just go and go and go and go these days. What's the earliest you've ever had to be there for surgery in the morning? Really, really early, right? And they're still doing surgery way late in the day. How do they do it? And then they make their rounds and they have their office calls and all these things. You know, mothers are just like that, it seems. They go and they go and they go. Sometimes on so little sleep. She has an excellent business insight. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With her fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. You ever hear of business acumen? Am I saying that word right? Acumen? Business acumen? The definition of that is Keenness and quickness in understanding and dealing with a business situation in a manner that is likely to lead to a good outcome. Here she considers a field. She thinks it through and devises a plan. Then she seals the deal and buys it. And with her own labor, the fruit of her hands, mission accomplished, she plants the field. She maintains a strong and healthy body, verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I wonder how many wives can defeat their husbands in an arm wrestling contest. She strengthens herself so that she has the ability to accomplish all of the tasks that she has set for herself. And whatever she produces is the best quality. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. And here, you know, she gets up in there early in the morning. Now she's working late at night. Like I said, when does she sleep? She works long hours, and she makes sure that her merchandise is of the best quality. Whatever she produces, it's really, really good. Some of it is labor intensive, verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Remember the spinning wheels? Yep. These are two parts of the spinning wheel. The spindle is the pin used in spinning wheels for twisting the thread and on which the thread, when twisted, is wound. And the distaff is the staff of the spinning wheel to which a bunch of flax or tow is tied and from which the thread is drawn. I have no idea what all that's talking about, but that's what those things are. And it's a lot of work. In other words, before you can make your clothing, you have to make your thread. Wow. That is labor intensive. Point number three, a mother can teach her children not to be selfish. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Do you remember the story of the little red hen? Little red hen. In the story, there's a dog and a pig and a cow also. And the little red hen goes through each step that ultimately ends up in the baking of bread. She plants a grain. She cares for the plants as they grow. She harvests the wheat. She took the wheat to the mill and got flour and used the flour to bake the bread. And each step along the way, she addresses the dog, the pig, and the cow and asks them if they want to help. And they say, not I, not I, not I. So she bakes the bread, and it's all done, and she says, who will help me eat the bread? And now they're all ready to participate. I will, I will, I will. And in the story, the little red hen says, no, you won't, I will. And she ate the bread, and that was the end of the story. But you know, that story doesn't fit the virtuous woman. Not only does she work diligently to provide food for her family, at least some of which might have helped her. There's not always a guarantee about that. She gives food to the poor and the needy, none of whom helped her. She shows compassion on people who are poor and needy. She expresses an example of kindness and generosity and unselfishness in her life. Point number four, a mother can teach her children the importance of an excellent presentation in the community. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes sure her family is warm when they go out in the cold, but there's a certain stylishness to the coats she makes for her family. They're made of scarlet. The word scarlet in the Hebrew language is related to the little worm called the crimson worm. It's a very special worm that looks like a grub more than a worm. When it is time for the female or mother crimson worm to have babies, which she does only one time in her life, she finds the trunk of a tree, a wooden fence post, or a stick. She then attaches her body to that wood and makes a hard crimson shell. She is so strongly and permanently stuck to the wood that the shell can never be removed without tearing her body completely apart and killing her. The crimson worm then lays her eggs under her body and the protective shell. When the baby worms hatch, they stay under the shell. Not only does the mother give her protection for her babies, but it also provides them with food. After just a few days, when the young worms grow to the point that they are able to take care of themselves, the mother dies. As the mother crimson worm dies, she oozes a crimson or scarlet red dye, which not only stains the wood she is attached to, but also her young children. They are colored scarlet red for the rest of their lives. In ancient times, the dead bodies of the female crimson worms were scraped from the tree, dried, and then ground into a powder that was used to dye their cloth and garments a scarlet of red color. You know, when we read the scripture here and it says that she provides her family with coats of scarlet, she didn't go to Walmart to buy them. She didn't go to Boscov's or Burlington Coat Factory or any store to buy them. It required a great deal of labor to accomplish this task. She had to scrape hardened dead worm shells off of tree trunks, ground them into powder, and use the powder to make a crimson dye. She had to warm a vat of the dye and immerse her cloth into the pot to make crimson cloth. She had to cut and sew and fashion warm coats for all her family. Her hands were worn and stained. Her brow was wet with perspiration, but her heart was full of joy because she gave her family an excellent presentation in the community. Does that give you a little different perspective of what's involved in that verse? And the way she adorns her house and herself are excellent. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. That is, she covers her furniture with these attractive pieces of cloth so that when people come into her home, it's warm and inviting. And her clothing, her own clothing, is silk and purple, a very fine linen, again dyed purple, a labor-intensive effort required to accomplish that. But notice, verse 23, she is not known in the gates, her husband is. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She does all of this and does not promote herself, but does it so that her family can have an excellent presentation in the community. And point number five, a mother gives her children an excellent testimony of godly character. Verse 24, she is known and has a reputation for fine craftsmanship. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant, making sure her merchandise is the best and will sell well, building her reputation for a commitment to excellence in the community. And more than her clothing, she is known for the adornments of strength and honor. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You see, when people see her, they say, there goes a strong woman. And when people see her, they say, there goes a woman of great character. She speaks both wisdom and kindness. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wisdom tells us that she knows how to apply knowledge, which must be considerable. And kindness tells us that her words show sympathy and compassion. No one can accuse her of being idle, verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. From the moment her feet touch the floor in the morning till the time she goes to bed at night, she's just a blur of activity. She has the respect of her family. Verse 28, her children ariseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And she has a reputation that stands out in the community. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And most of all, her heart is right with God. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And shall I say, if this one characteristic is not true of this woman, probably most of the rest is not true either. It starts with this, a woman who fears the Lord. And oh, by the way, remember back in verse 23, I said she's not known in the gates. It's her husband's that is known in the gates. But notice, when her husband is in the gates and he is noticed, everyone will know that behind that successful man is a virtuous woman who had a big hand in making him what he is. Verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And husbands, while you're being noticed because of all your wife made possible for you, make sure you give her credit for it. He sits in the gate and he's doing business. And he's got this amazing suit on. Now, back in the day, when someone would say, "Where did you get that suit?" the man would say, "My wife made it for me." Today, we'd probably have to say, "My wife bought it for me," but give her credit. She laid it out for me this morning. How did I coordinate all those colors? Give her credit. She deserves it. So what does this virtuous wife, mother, keeper at home give to show she loves her family? She gives her life. She gives herself. She gives her heart, her mind, her soul. She gives her energy, her strength. She gives her time. She gives her resources. She gives her passion because she is committed to excellence. And as the helper part of the divine nature, remember when God created man and then he created woman? How did he describe the woman? She was the help meet. Well, remember, God is a very present help in time of need. The word help that describes God is the same word he used to describe Eve in creation. It takes both the man and the woman together to be a picture of the entire divine nature. And thus I say, as the helper part of the divine nature, this virtuous woman, this wife, this mother, this keeper at home, gives her family a picture of what God does for all of us. Thank you, ladies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the virtuous women that are among us. And I pray that for the young ladies and the little girls, you would work in their hearts that their desire as they grow would be to be virtuous women. Thank you for the impact our wives and our mothers have had upon our lives. Help them to feel blessed this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.